Hi, I'm Libby Fulton.
And I'm Greg Greenfell.
And we like to garden.
Like to garden. We like to garden. We like to garden. We like to garden.
Welcome, everyone.
Yay, we're back.
We are back and
better than ever. Nah.
I mean, maybe.
We try.
We'll see how the episode goes. Let us know if it's better than ever, guys.
It's better than last week's recording because you'll hear Greer now.
Yeah, so we had some technical ish, and we were sick the week before that, or the couple of weeks before that.
Yes.
But we are fully, would you say you're back to 100?
I feel finally this week I'm back to 100.
Yeah.
Are you?
Close. I still have a couple of little niggles, but I'm carrying on as if I'm 100. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense.
Because I'm done. I'm done with it.
I'm mentally, I've passed beyond it, pushed it aside.
I
just don't even want to think about you anymore.
No, see you, COVID. But this week we are talking about planting for wind and dealing with wind.
Yes.
In your garden, because it can be a real bitch.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I have really quickly come to learn how terrible the wind is.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. It. Have we discussed this in a further? I'm confused now with what we talked about or not, but it blew all my seedlings away.
It did. Libby had a little greenhouse and she came out to it scattered around the property.
Oh, it was a nightmare. And I'd even put bricks on it, and I loaded up more bricks on it because I was like, oh, that'll hold her down until I get some pegs. But it really didn't. That Norwest is vicious.
Yeah. So Libby's out in North Canterbury now, and she's very exposed.
Very exposed.
And I feel like you should have known.
I did, and that's why I put the bricks, and I was like, it'll be fine. I actually moved it from one position to another, more sheltered, so it had like two walls.
Yes. Do you know what you should do is you should build – or get Jack to build a little greenhouse on like the side of your shed.
Oh yeah, I would love that.
It comes out from the wall. I love those. I think they're so cute. Like when people do them against the house.
Yes, I love that.
It's like a little Victorian feel. Like I love it.
Yeah, that's where I wanted it to go originally.
Yeah,
and I thought I'll eventually put some camping pegs on it until I can get a proper greenhouse and like hold it down in the ground.
Yeah,
I don't even think that would hold it. I reckon it'll just rip through it, or like rip. Yeah. Away from the pig.
So nice to be attached.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give up on it, that whole greenhouse little thing that I've got given, and just wait until I can have a big one.
Yeah. It's my dream to have a recycled greenhouse made from old windows that I've just collected over the years, and they all just somehow magically fit together in like really perfect, cute, little like cutesy way.
Yeah, I've seen.
It's my dream. I don't think it's going to happen. Also, because I wouldn't want to have just random windows on my property for many years until I collect all the ones that I need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Like, I don't want to be one of those weird hoarder people. Like,
you're talking about my father. He's got greenhouse glass that doesn't fit the greenhouse shell that he's had of both for 20 plus years, just sitting there.
Oh, how rusty.
Oh, rusty. When will you learn?
But one thing I found is before you kind of get going with your property and wind, you can look up your wind stats. And there's a website called windy.app, APP, and you can enter your suburb or town and go to the statistics tab, and it shows you where your wind comes from. So it's really, really handy, and I'll link the website in the show notes. And you can't look up everywhere. Like, I can't look up a suburb in Christchurch, but it has Sumner and New Brighton. I guess maybe they get different, like, extremer wind, so it's on there. But
yeah.
So I can look up central Christchurch and see our predominant wind, which is northeast. And I think the closest one for you is Ringura.
But still, so it gives you a locale, and it's going to give you an idea if you're new to an area. Like, it's super handy.
Yeah, so if you're moving somewhere, you can use it. It's really handy, and I learned from my class that I've been doing at the Canterbury Horticultural Society about some wind, because it's like an environmental factor when you're designing your garden, and it has two main effects.
Can I just say, I'm going to interrupt you, do you think wind plays more of a role in your garden than you thought before you did this class? Because I've come to realise now that it plays such a huge role. experiencing it. Like, I wouldn't have in my head before, I wouldn't have envisioned when I planned my garden so much now that what I'm going to have to do because of wind.
I think I've always known that our garden is sheltered.
Yes.
So it doesn't affect my design at all because our house blocks the easterly.
Mm.
So our garden, because and we live in a built-up area, that we get wind, like everyone gets wind. Like, we live in New Zealand, it's a windy country.
It's so windy.
We're a little island in the middle of nowhere. But my house itself is, like, probably the, like, it's reasonably sheltered.
Yeah, even our old house was so sheltered. Like, I never really thought about it.
Yeah. But, and I think when you live in a built-up area like that, there's so many windbreaks all around you that you don't, it doesn't really affect you.
Yeah.
You don't get those big, strong gusts.
Yes.
That can really, like, fuck up. Like, at my mum's, like, the washing is constant. Like, she lives up on the hill in Christchurch.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like the wind rips, like, all the washing off the line and stuff.
So annoying to come home to your washing in the hedge.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it depends where you live.
Yeah, but so what did they say?
Yeah, so it has two main effects. And the first one is it funnels, is it speeds up through narrow spaces.
Yes.
And that's what happens down the side of our house, kind of. And then turbulence as it's deflected up and over walls and structures.
Which I find so interesting.
Yeah, so I learned that the fence and gate we put in to stop the easterly didn't do jack shit. Because apparently if you put a fence in, it just goes up and over and creates more chaos than if you just let the wind let in. So it's actually better to have gates and fences that are slatted.
Yes.
Because it breaks the wind up.
It's like dispersing it.
Disperses it, yes. So, which is pretty, like, random to think about. So, do you want to talk about windbreaks and shelter belts?
Yeah, so when I started looking into it to counteract wind, so there's some things that you can do with your planting. So when you're doing your shelter, or even if you're not doing shelter, you just want to have, like, a hedge break or something that right before your garden, is the best optimum is about 2 meters high if you, as a minimum. And what amazed me was that it can reduce the wind on the leeward side from up to 60 meters if it's done well. And on the wind facing side, so the outside of can stop right next to the hedge, can stop the wind from up to 2 to 8 meters. And that's because when it encounters, as Greg talked about the turbulence, I wasn't thinking that there would be a thing, but when the wind encounters like a structure, it buffets it up. So you're going to get a pocket right before you're under your hedge that you can plant out that might not get as much wind as you think, even though it's sort of on the exposed side.
Yeah.
And when you're planting your shrubs or trees or whatever, to do approximately like 30 to 60 centimeter spacing, and that's going to help disperse the wind through the gaps, but also thinking about the optimum, to optimize it, I should say, is a variety. So I just thought, oh, okay, one hedge, whatever. But if you get a variety of plants and trees and shrubs, it's going to be the best thing because it just gives more dispersing aids for the wind to go through.
Yes, like think of it as a shelter belt rather than a hedge.
Yes. Yeah. And then the other thing with the turbulence, as Greer was talking about, and I never thought before, was make, instead of just doing a flat hedge line, is make it a triangular shape. So you put, like, the tallest things in the middle, which might go against what you would want in your garden. But so you'd make it like a pyramid. So you get the tallest thing in the middle and then your shorter shrubs on the outside. So it stops that tunneling, funneling.
So crazy.
Yeah. Which I would never have thought about before. And might not be practical for everyone, but if you want to, and that sort of disperses the wind to the side rather than bringing it all to the middle.
Yes.
And making it stronger.
Yeah. And do you know where I saw the best example of a shelter planted for wind? Is at Flaxmere Garden in Harden.
Yeah.
And the day that I went there with Jack the first time, it was like a bluster nor'wester. Like, it was so crazy windy the whole day. It was really annoying to be out and about in it. And as soon as you walk down the driveway into the garden, you can hear the wind all around you just rustling. But inside, it was basically still. It was like a soft summer breeze.
That's incredible.
Actually insane how effective it was.
And how well they've done that.
Yes.
Whether intentional or not, and yes. that's just grown in how they've developed the garden, but yeah. it's created
But I think
that.
People that garden in really exposed sites, 100%. One thing that I took away from that Hauranui Garden Festival was they all said they planted the shelter first. That's the first thing that they did.
Yeah.
Because they knew they had exposed sites, and you, it's really hard to grow anything until you have their shelter in.
Yeah, such a good point.
Yeah, so...
Otherwise, you're just pissing against the wind, literally.
Yeah, and just throwing all your money away.
Yeah.
So it really pays in the long run to spend your money up front getting their shelter in, which I'm down for.
I know, and so talking about that, as everyone knows, like, the wind's terrible for plants, but, like, why is... It just dries out the surface moisture. And often when you see exposed gardens or you see quite, like, in windy places, you see quite leggy, sparse-looking shrubs and trees. Mm-hmm. And that's why. It just dries them out.
Yeah.
And on top of that is obviously blowing them about as well.
And dries out the soil.
Yeah.
Presumably. Yeah.
So, just terrible.
Just terrible.
Terrible.
Someone cancel the wind. I've had enough. And you've got some plants that you've been looking at what you're going to be planting on your property.
Yeah, so I have been deep diving into plants, and a lot of these are just probably common sense. So when you've got windy conditions, the right plants like can help, because the wind is just never ending, like tugging on the roots of a plant. And so it's moving it back and forth in the wind. And so you've got to think about what plants are going to be happy to survive in those conditions, because the more it moves about, the less time that plant is going to take up nutrients, because it's trying to secure itself in the soil. And also whether the stem and the foliage is flexible enough to go with the wind, or if it's too stiff, it's just going to break and, you know, who hasn't come out after a windy night to the garden maybe career with stuff that snapped, have you? Ever?
No.
Yeah, I even still had that in town. Like, I'd come out and like some branches or something had snapped, or a rose or something.
Your stuff's not big enough, I guess, in a garden to do that yet.
Yeah, so thinking about plants that can withstand like strong gusts of wind. So there's, at first I was kind of like, oh no, I'm gonna have like the most awful garden.
Just carrots everywhere.
Yeah, I did. And I was just like, no.
Do you know what I saw on Gardener's World? Something like...
They love the carrots?
No, there was one gardener that they were talking about in their garden, and they were like highlighting this carrots that's a New Zealand native. Like, it was exotic to them. And I was just like, it's just like... I don't know. For me, I'm apologise to the carrots lovers out there, but it just reminds me of motorways.
Yeah, I've become a carrots lover, and I'm going to use them. But I don't want to have my garden dominated by them. But I'm going to use them as a bit of a matrix style plant with my some of my prairie style planting that I'm aiming to do.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I'll try not to mistake your garden for our motorway.
The highest insult someone could give.
They're just all down the sides of the motorway.
That's terrible, but anyway.
Obviously easy to grow.
Yeah, so there's lots of options. So wind-tolerant, like, flowers, you still can get lavenders, you've got sedums, daisies, actually any kind of daisies, coreopsis, which are... I had a look at, because I was like, what are they? And they're really compact, and they have, like, robust, like, thick, fleshy stems and leaves. So, you know, because it's lower to the ground, but also because of just must be the girth of them, but they're not woody.
Sounds like me. Just, like, thick, low to the ground, girthy.
You're perfect in the wind.
Just perfect in the wind.
Perfect. Hardy geraniums, which grows pretty like what, but there are so many I've been inspired by with geraniums recently.
Well, do you know, because when I went to Birch Hill Flower Farm, there was one geranium there, because usually I don't like them because of the smell.
Yeah, but that's a different...
But there was one that she had, and I really should message her to say, but it's the foliage smelt really fresh and amazing.
Yeah, I didn't realise how many. The old school, like, fiery, like, orange and, like, that. Pink, like, or red.
Yeah.
And there's so many different varieties apart from those ones.
Yes.
There I don't are. Even know which ones specifically what the variety's called.
No, but, yeah. I really should get in touch with Nikki and ask her because it was the first time I've ever thought, like, I actually really like that geranium. We had one and I took it out because when I was, like, taking care of it, like, taking out old leaves and stuff, I just could not stand the smell of it.
Yeah, and you know, in the past we've talked about, is it Lambrook Manor? Is that how you pronounce it? I forget now. In the UK, about mm-hmm. really famous cottage garden.
Yes.
She had a whole heap of, like, geraniums. Like, the biggest collection, like...
Oh, she had, like, the national collection?
Yeah, of just ridiculous, like, I'm going to say, like, over 100.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
I believe it.
I believe it. And some of... And it looked incredible. Like, when you saw them, you weren't like, oh, like, yeah, geraniums yeah. everywhere. Yeah. So...
No, I'm down for that.
Garas, and then you've got, like, zinnias, portulaca. I don't know how to pronounce that. Portulaca?
Portulaca?
I don't know if that's right. like, purslane. And they, again, are, like, fleshy foliage, so water doesn't evaporate quickly like other plants, hardy alliums, catmint, and then wind-tolerant shrubs. This was surprising. So azaleas and rhodos. And I was like, they don't seem like it. But actually they are, because one of the biggest rhodo I had at my old house got so much southerly and easterly wind. That's all it got, and it was fine.
Because sometimes it can strengthen up stems too.
Yeah, that's true. Buddleias, lilacs, buxus, pittosporum. So basically anything you can think of, like, shrub-like is going to be good. Brachyglottis. Why can't I pronounce that?
I was looking forward to you pronouncing that. I was looking at it thinking, like, what is this called?
Or is it brachyglottis?
So Libby's just Googled it and YouTubed it. And
it is brachyglottis.
Brachyglottis.
Sounds like a dinosaur.
It does.
So, yeah, any hedging plants that come to mind, bottle brushes, like Australian natives, leucospernumens, hebes, and rugarosa, and viburnums, and then, this cracks me up still, wind-tolerant trees. And Greer, like, laugh when I put this, because it's a tree, but, like, all trees are really good, aren't they? But some are more tolerant than others.
Yeah.
So,
spruce. Well, even the biggest trees can come down in a storm.
Exactly. Thank you. So,
but as a general rule.
So, like, macrocarpa, birches, olive trees, dogwoods, elms, firs, pines, all of those.
Just every tree.
Basically every tree you can think of.
But just stake them quite thoroughly when they're babies. You'll have to look after them for the first couple of years.
And low maintenance trees. I feel like any delicate trees, like blossoms or things like that, probably need quite a lot of staking, really, don't they?
I feel like when it's a sapling, like, they would all need a lot of care.
Do they?
No, I mean, I'm not a tree expert.
No. And this makes so much sense, but had never thought of. So think of prickly things. So the structure of a prickly plant also holds the shape of the plant itself. So holly, hawthorns, sea holly, berberis. Were you going to say what? Well, it's like the spikes hold the bush structure of the shape because they cling to each other rather than breaking off.
Yes, okay, got you.
Yeah.
I thought you were being, like, like doing a metaphor, like the prickly. Do you
know what I mean? The prickly shrub.
Like the prickly nature of it mirrors the structure.
No, I literally mean the prickles hold.
Okay. I was reading too much under that.
You really were. And of course, so I haven't been someone that really loves ground covers. But I think I'm going to have to be, and there are so many varieties. It's not just what I sort of had, like, a narrow selection in my mind that it would be, but all ground covers are obviously perfect because a lot of them are grown, like, found in, originally from, like, alpine environments, so they're used to exposed conditions. So phlox, dianthus, snow in summer, smaller sedums, periwinkles, armeria, alpine asters, and then you've got herbs, like rosemary, thyme, and... any creepers, so like ivory, and obviously grasses.
Ivory.
It's because I'm going
to get your old school ivory.
Grab it's an elephant.
It's illegal now, but if you get an antique piece, it's okay. Does really well on the wind.
I've got some spare piano keys. If anyone can just sketch them about your garden.
Piano keys.
You could hear the music with the wind.
Just a tinkle tinkle.
Oh, lol.
I like to have a full tusk just in the back corner.
Stop. Ivy. But yeah, any climbers, even anything that you think that goes vertical, you can have horizontal, having it creep along the ground. Yes. Yeah. Grasses, again, as Greer said at the start, with your carrots loving.
I was a ruider, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're perfect because obviously the structure is meant to be blown in the wind, so yeah.
They bloody love it.
Bloody love it. So,
and then, so that's wind. And then next week, this is kind of a part one of two.
Yes.
Because they'd go hand in hand next week. We're going to talk about drought. Because often in really windy, exposed places, you have issues with drought as well.
Yes.
So.
Many coastal gardens and things like that. Or if you're on a hill, as Greer talked about. So.
Yeah. So that's just a little teaser to teach you to come back.
Please come back.
But for now. That is planting in the wind.
Yeah. So, Graham, what have you been up to in the garden?
Okay.
Oh, we're going back to front here.
Yes.
Well, I'm here for it.
That's okay.
I'm mixing it up.
Yeah. So, when I was sick, I bought so many seeds, like too many seeds.
I'm so excited.
Possibly. I'm going to try and sow them all, but we'll see if they fit in the garden. And then before I got sick, like the weekend before I got sick, I had a whole day out. I bought two Astrantia from a lady in Oxford.
That's right.
That I didn't realise at the time. Like I went there and she just had this massive garden and she was showing me pictures of all the plants and like in bloom. And she had like, her phone was so organised. She had like albums on her phone that were like bulbs and they were all labeled like with the plant name and variety.
Stop. That's incredible.
And then so she was kind of showing me pots that she had for sale but then showing me on her phone what they'd look like in bloom.
Yeah.
And then she was really apologetic as well and she's like oh, I just wanted to make sure that it's okay that, you know, it doesn't look like the photo, because she'd posted I bought it off Facebook.
I know.
I was like, oh no, I knew that it wouldn't be anything right now.
She
and she's like
that from people,
yeah, she
though.
Said that someone the week before had like been like, oh, well, that's not the picture there.
And it was a bulb.
Well, it's just a herbaceous perennial, so it's just dirt. It's like
That's even worse. Like, they turned up wanting, like, the plant or a bulb, and it's like, no, it's not up here.
It's not
like,
this season.
No.
So
that's
she...
That's crazy. Crazy people.
I know. But she was lovely. She was so lovely, and I did not realise...
She's a big deal.
...that she was a big deal in Oxford. I told Libby I got her card, like her business card, because her garden's open in summer. And Libby's like, yes, she is a big deal. She holds the Oxford fate.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I just made a friend. And then I drove out to, like, I don't even know where, the South Pacific Roses.
You ended up back, like, in almost... Prebleton?
Yeah, Prebletonish. Yeah, Templeton.
Yeah.
So I drove up around the back, which was a real adventure,
up the gorge.
It was quite windy out there, too. I was a little bit scared in my little gets.
Oh.
But I made it.
You made it. Headed to the other town.
And I got the climbing rose called Awakening, which I had talked about previously. Yeah. And I've planted that, so it's going to climb up the picket fence that...
At the front, or the one at the back.
Picket fence that divides up to the veggie garden.
It's going to look so good.
Yeah, so...
And also smart, because the like prickles will be an extra deterrent to Vera if she ever thought to go over the fence. Not that she could, but if she got her paws up.
Yeah, she would have no hope of getting over that fence.
Mm.
Absolutely no hope. Sometimes she struggles to get on the couch.
Like, she could be nosy one day.
She is nosy. So, I planted all my poppies and my emmys in the garden. And since then, I read that poppies don't like being transplanted. And they were all very root bound because I'd left them in their pots too long. So, they're looking quite sad. And
that is so annoying. Did you put them in the ground or in another pot?
Into the ground.
Okay.
I was like, I'm really gutted if they all fail. because I was really looking forward to them. And like, sometimes I'm just like, mother loves you, like, please grow. But also I've noticed that I kind of forgot that the dog is annoying about the garden.
Yeah.
And already she's trampled the emmys that I planted along the back fence. Because she just wanders through. Yeah, she just actually has no concept of the fact that she's walking on something.
Like, she's got no spatial awareness either.
She's just, she's the pits. So I think I'm actually going to have to do something in that big garden bed. Like, I was thinking about getting, you know, those metal rebars?
Yeah.
Stakes, because she eats the bamboo stakes, so I can't do that.
Mm.
And then I was thinking, you know that movie where Catherine Zeta-Jones goes through those lasers?
Yes.
I was thinking about doing that with string or something like that, so that it just has to make her stop and think. It would be really hard to garden in there, but at least the plants would be safe.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the plants can grow up around it and cover it all.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Like, I need to.
I can't still imagine you coming out in her, like, tangled stuck in it, and she's just like half ripped it all.
All like choked herself. Oh god. If anyone has any tips and tricks about keeping a dog off plants.
Yeah, what about like wire bits, like netting?
Yeah. Well, I have done that with a couple of things. I put kind of metal tomato towers over them to stop it, and it does stop it, but I just can't do it with every plant.
No, you can't.
So I don't know.
The string might work.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
The other major thing is that my potting table is getting underway. So I don't even know if I've talked about this. Maybe ages ago, I designed a potting table and measured it all up and everything and put heaps of – I went on Pinterest and I found heaps of cool features that you can have on potting tables. Mm-hmm. And then – so Jack has to finish it hopefully this weekend. And it is honestly looks so cool, eh?
It looks like when I saw it tonight – I'm just, yeah, she's, as Greer said, I'm going to have it for life, but I said, you're going to use it, and every time you use it, you're going to be like, this is the best thing I've ever had. It's going to make it so much more efficient and easy, like, you're going to enjoy potting up.
Yes, and I love potting, and I love sowing seeds. It's like one of my favourite things to do in the garden, so I just feel like I'm going to have so many times with that potting table.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to do her like a photo once.
I'll have to do a full like video or something to show all the bells and whistles. So it's got like wooden slats on the top and one third of it, so that, and then underneath it there's a bin that pulls out, so all the dirt you can just sweep it into the bin, pull it out, and empty it.
That's so great.
And then it's going to have reuse shelves. It, like, you know, like, yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, just pull it out and empty it into the extra potting mix.
Yeah.
Drawer, so it's going to have like a pull-out bin for potting mix, and with a scoop, so I can just scoop potting mix up. It's got shelves. It's going to have hooks for my things,
and it's got like a massive shelf on the bottom to store like heavy potting mix or something, you know, in the back. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
you tell me.
Oh, your table. Don't even like, know. I'm so excited, and I'm going to paint it sage green, and I'm going to get like brass finishings. Mm. So like the handles on the pull-out bin and the hooks and stuff will be brass.
And it's a nice high height, so you don't have to hurt your back when you're doing
it. Because when I was designing it, I like literally stood with the measuring tape and tested everything. So it's like perfect for me and my height.
Perfect. Where are you putting it?
We're in the side under the shelter where my bike currently lives.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Then I'll be able to pot in all weather as well.
Yeah.
So really, I'm just actual fizzed about it. And once it's finished and painted and everything, I will definitely do a video and show people, because I feel like it's legit got the best ideas on it. Like, I amalgamated all these different ideas that were on Pinterest.
I'm so proud of you. So smart.
Oh, I mean, if I didn't have Jack, I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, let's be honest.
Yes, but also, like, he put your ideas, like, he made your ideas become to life.
Yes, he did. Yeah, no, he's good. He's great, actually.
And also, what did you bought, you went to Aroian Nurseries?
I did go to Aroian Nurseries, and I bought a Daphne.
Yeah.
And it is a hybrid between the normal Daphne, what's it called, like, Leucanth or something? Whatever that.
And what's the other one?
And the other one is the Himalayan tree Daphne.
I was going to say that's Alpine. Well, I mean, yours a mountain range.
Yeah. Some kind of international mountain range. So apparently the guy at Aroya told me that they have a really, really long flowering season. He said he's got a mature one that's about 7 years old, and it can flower from April to August.
Amazing.
And he said that the flowers are bigger than
the usual normal. Yeah.
So the actual flower heads themselves are bigger.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to planting it after Libby takes my hedging away.
I know. Sorry. I was meant to come and do that in the weekend.
No, I feel like you've been so busy.
I have.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. Yeah, so I think that's every... Oh, and I've sowed seed. So, sowed my tomatoes, and they're upstairs.
Yeah.
And I've sowed heaps of flower seeds.
What did you
sow? I sowed my nigella,
yeah.
My thalictrum ornamental, like the purple carrot.
Oh, I'm so interested to see this.
Verbena binariensis and something else. My interinums. So I've sowed all those.
How many all up do you think?
How many different flowers I've sowed?
No, different seeds, like a whole packet, or did you only
I've sold the whole packet on because I've noticed that, you know, on these kind of specialist websites, like seed websites.
Oh, yeah, sometimes
I just don't have that many in the packet. There's like 20 or 30 in the packet, so yeah. I'm just like, well, I sowed them all, like. I've done that, and then I've still got so many more to sow. And one thing, so I have Larkspur smoky eye seeds to sow, and I am going to have to come up with a wee plan of attack. So apparently they're best to sow in autumn because they need chilling, but apparently you can put them in the fridge in damp perlite for 2 weeks. And then the thing about larkspur is that they don't like being transplanted. So I think that when I took mine out of the garden, like my little baby seedlings out of the garden into pots, and they all died.
Yes.
I reckon it was maybe because I disturbed the roots.
That was last year, eh?
Yeah.
You can't work out what you've done.
Yeah.
It must be.
So I think that what I'm going to have to do after they chill is I'm going to have to direct sow them into the garden, but create some kind of structure so the dog doesn't like walk on the seeds or the seedlings.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
So I'm going to do that. And then I generally have like so many more to sow. I'll get to it when we talk about what we're going to do.
Okay. As we talked about earlier, so obviously all my seedlings that I planted, because that's why I thought maybe I was stupid that planting them all, you know, at the start. But anyway, so I lost like all my Ami, Scabiosa and Nigella, but so apart from two Scabiosa, I found like half cast over. So then I dumped all the soil in a spot in the garden because I thought if anything comes up. But I didn't have high hopes, but heaps have. Like, there's so much. So I've got some Ami and Nigella that have come up. And then I found some pots that I had just, like, dumped on top of each other that from it all that I kind of swept into another pot. And there's, like, little seedlings in them. So I've actually got 4 Ami already in a pot that I don't have to disturb. And I just, yeah, I'm so excited. So 6 seedlings from 150. Yeah.
But nature finds a way.
Nature finds a way. So, I'm excited about the plants that have come up. And that was just so disheartening. So,
yeah.
I've got to have a new plan. I think I'm just going to sow them. But I'm just going to keep them outside.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put them in the little glasshousey thing. Little shack.
Flowers are good. Like, I feel like flowers don't need... No, like all our vegetables, we're pretty much start inside at the moment.
Yeah.
But flowers, I just chuck in the greenhouse, like outside, because.
Yeah.
And that's open all the time. Like it's not.
Yeah. I think if I'm worried, I'm going to put the. I started with my cuttings. That's the other thing I did, is I put them in brood bags. So I'm just going to maybe put some in a bag and then see if that goes, like one in, one out, and then just work with what I've got.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like flowers are a bit hardier.
Yeah. I'm hoping that because, as we've talked about, like I usually just chuck stuff in my garden, like I haven't properly sown annuals before, so yeah I'm excited. I also took loads of cuttings of all the pittosporums different and some phytinia around our property, and I bought some gel rooting hormone, and so I wasn't sure how it's going to work, and I was saying to Greer, I feel like I just don't know.
I know.
If it's working or not.
And you don't know for ages.
I know.
And there's nowhere to check.
No way to check. And it just doesn't look great.
It's like baking a cake. You don't know if it's going to be good until it's cut.
I know.
And like you have people over. You can't just cut a slice of the cake beforehand to make sure it's okay.
No. And so I just got to wait. I know. But I took maybe close to 50 cadings, and I've got to do some more. So I want to get some Buxus.
Surely out of 50, you'll have a strike rate of, do you know what I mean?
Surely, even 10. That's yeah. 10 plants I don't have to buy. So, yeah, a bit nervous, but I followed the, we talked about earlier on another episode about the Southland Community Garden had a really good method for doing natives in June and July. So I just used that and did them in some sand. So hoping, but yeah, I feel like I will have to wait till when, like October, November to see.
Yeah, I guess when they get new growth.
Yeah. Well, they said when you can see the roots at the bottom starting yeah. to come out. So
you might even have to wait like a year. Like oh. often when Monty's when Monty you're takes cuttings, when Monty takes cuttings, he's always like, and that will be in that pot for I'll get that out next this time oh, next year.
Geez, that's not. I'm gonna have to buy some plants because that's just.
But not then right. I don't know if the he's just going for slow growing.
I don't know. I mean, if Monty, let's be real. That's what Monty says. That's probably what I should do. But I'll see how I go, and I'll just keep taking them. Yeah. I've got nothing to lose, so yeah. Planted my roses this weekend. Finally,
did.
Oh, that was exciting. So I made two new beds for those, and actually got them in the ground. And I had to get my dad to come and help me because I was fine making the beds, but it's so stony. And my mum, she saw the day before. On the Friday, she was like, "Oh, I can see where you've got to." And so then my dad came and he digged the big coals for me. It was
so
great.
Good.
And he was so quick. Oh. It just really annoys me how quick he is. So, so thankful. And
I hate digging holes.
I know. So it's really motivated me because it was something that I'd been meaning to do for so long. You know, when you finally get something ticked yep. off, you're just like, what?
And it's something that makes an immediate impact.
Media. It's tidied up a whole other area where they were all sitting. Like, yep. I got rid of all this cardboard that I had sitting around that I was going to use to, like, as a weed matting. Like, everything's gone and it's all tidy in yeah. another area. So, loving it. And I was saying to Greer, my kale.
Yeah.
The snails haven't killed or eaten it all.
It's funny the things they'll touch or they won't.
I know, and it's been amazing. Like, I've been able to, like, take some leaves and stuff already. So, and I only planted those. They actually were, like, seedlings. It must have been in May, end of May. And so they've done well over winter, really.
That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been picking broccoli the last couple of weeks.
How good?
It's so good. I mean, it tastes good. And there's no white butterflies around, so it's like...
Even better.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
I did see something on some Facebook gardening group. Someone was saying they only grow brassicas in winter.
I get that. Because
there's no... They don't have to worry about white butterflies.
And often when I've grown brassicas, I've had a really terrible rate with bolt. Like, it always... My broccoli's always bolt.
Yeah. I've heard other people say they don't grow it in summer because it just bolts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are you going to get up to this weekend?
This weekend, Jack will be finishing my potting table.
Thank goodness.
And then I'll be able to paint it, probably not this weekend, and then we're away, so maybe the first weekend of September.
Okay.
I'll be sowing more seeds.
Oh.
And one thing I've done, because I really took away from when I went to Locke Levin, and she was talking about seed raising, and she said that seed raising mix is like a really worthwhile investment.
I bought some, and would you believe it?
And I was like, oh, it always seemed like a scam. But so this year, I haven't bought seed raising mix, but I have added lots of perlite to the potting mix because I think that opens it up and it holds moisture. So I'm really hoping that that.
I didn't even know what it was several months ago.
Yeah, it's really good.
But I'd
good.
Seen it, but and now I see it everywhere and I'm like,
they're like, done. So I'll be planting more seedlings. I'll be looking at my trickier flower seedlings that might need to go in the fridge or have special things that they need.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll be planting more veg, sowing more veg. I'll be doing a general tidy up because at the moment our backyard, it looks like absolute dog shit. Like, I'll be honest, I
haven't seen it, but I bet it doesn't.
It's depressing. Like,
it's depressing though at this time of year.
Yeah, and there's just like empty pots, and I feel like the dog's been so messy out there. Like, there's sticks everywhere, and like things that she's chewed, and there's all these pots. So I've decided as well that for my new garden plan, when we finally do our landscaping, that I want more cohesion in the space.
And
so what I've decided to do is get rid of all of my glazed pots that are like bright colours and only buy terracotta. And then I'm going to paint the terracotta ones. I've got three or four different colours that I'm going to paint them, and I'll show you them afterwards. But one's like the sage green that I'm going to paint the potting table. One is like a dusky purple and one is like a cream. So they're all going to be, they're all kind of like of a similar dusky nature. But I think they'll work well together, and I'm going to concentrate on acquiring terracotta pots that are all different shapes and sizes so that I can arrange them. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Rather than real haphazard pots.
Yeah, have this like bright blue pot here and then a terracotta pot next to it. Like, I'm going to try and have a bit more cohesion with the pot situation. And then so I've got tons of pots that are empty at the moment, and they're just kind of scattered about. Like, they're just, it's just looks terrible out there. So this weekend while Jack's doing the potting table, I'm going to really focus on tidying up the space.
And okay. Are you going to plant up your pots yet?
Nah. Not until probably mid-September, I think I usually do it.
Oh, I was thinking I might even do it later because I've got several that I need to sort out too.
Yeah, I think you do it any time between like September and Christmas, don't you?
Yeah. Well, it depends when you want, if you want spring or summer flowering. Mm. Yeah.
What about you?
Just an ever-growing list, but same, similar to you, I've got so many. I bought ridiculous amount of seeds from King's Seeds and like specialist other like seed places. So I just got to try and sow those and keep them alive, not have them blow away. I need to get some
hard to keep seedlings alive.
I know. It's going to be all I think about, and where I like have them and are they getting enough sun, but I don't want them to blow away. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to quit my job and just look after my seedlings because it's too stressful trying to do both.
Yeah, I get it. I'm going to take some more cuttings. And now that I've done the roses, I've got another garden bed that's like quite a damp area, but I've got heaps of plants already to go into it that are sitting at my parents' house, and I've got some stuff to dig out from there as well. So I can't wait to do that and have it done, and it'll be amazing because it's right by the garage. I'll see it a lot, so I'm not trying to do too much, but it sounds like I am. But I think the front will look really tidy eventually because I'll have done things. And it's, I'm hoping it's just going to be really lush.
I'm so pumped for you.
Green. And, I'll leave all the zany, all the annuals and stuff are going to go out the back.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if that'll, like, stay there eventually, if that makes sense. So,
It's just a time of experimentation.
Yeah, annuals. Whereas I'm, like, sold on what I'm going to do at the front. Yeah. Because it's quite formal. So I'm excited. It's quite a damp bed.
Yeah.
So it'll be easy for me to dig up and get going.
Yeah.
It's just going to have hostas and I forget what they're called, which is winter roses. What are they? What's the proper
name? Hellebores?
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot them. Ligaria? Ligaria?
Yeah.
Get some of those and hydrangeas. And I'm going to take hydrangea all going to be cuttings from people that I know. So that'll be the last thing because I won't be able to take those until more like spring.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
I'm excited. What are you going to buy next? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a shrub and I've kind of given up at the minute.
Oh, yes. So what's the update? So,
so there is no update really. So listeners, if you know where I can buy a Wajila, but not the Wine and Roses one and not the variegated one, hit me up. Like, I am...
That's what you want, eh?
That's what I have my heart set on. And if it can't happen, I'm just going to leave this space where I'm going to put it for this year, and I'll probably just put sweet peas there.
Great idea!
And then come back to it because I don't want to get something that I'm not
into
100% about. So we've talked about this before where my garden is so small that I really can't have anything that I don't absolutely love. It's just there's not enough space to have things that are just fillers. So it has to really serve a purpose for me, which is why I'm getting rid of the hedge in there. So I would like a flowering shrub that gets to at least 2 meters.
Yeah.
Something like a lilac, but I have a lilac already, so I don't want to get another one. And I saw a Wajila at Frensham one day, and it had a light pink flower and not a variegated leaf. And I just cannot find a variety that isn't the wine and roses or the variegated one.
Did you have you talked to Margaret to ask her where she
got No, hers? I haven't.
That could be a top tip. Because the variegated one is nice, but it does look quite... It looks a bit messy, eh?
Yeah, I just... I'm not in love with a variegated leaf.
It looks quite old-fashioned.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
I'd much prefer like a...
Yeah.
I much prefer just a plain green.
Yeah.
So that's my plan. That's what I want to buy.
And you were like humming and hawing about a Budleia, but it still doesn't quite tick all the boxes. And no. Then you're just like, yeah.
So a Budleia would be my next choice. I've looked at a lot of different shrubs and I just, yeah, I'm not sure. So if anyone knows of any specialist nurseries that would have a Wajila, I found what I thought. I thought Aroya Nurseries was going to have one because they list Wajilas on their website. But they did not have any. And the lady that I spoke to didn't even, had never heard of it. So they maybe need to sort their website out.
Like, we haven't updated that.
And what about you?
A little bit basic, but I would like to get some hygiene plants for the front of my roses to like just hide all the ground cover that, the mulch and stuff, pea straw that I've put down. And I've also come to like a realization that I'm looking for around a couple of areas to stand against the black of my house. I want to put like something on mass that's easy to use and like is going to be good in the wind and the dry and lots of colors. And I was like, actually, lavender would be really good. Yes. I'm just not, haven't had a great success rate before with lavender.
Because you used to live in a bog.
A bog, right. And also I don't think I cut them back. They were really woody. So if I can get some non-woody varieties, which I think, there's heaps of those. Yeah, now.
And I think as well they can all be non-woody if you cut them back hard in spring and in autumn.
So I'm going to have to be onto it. I know more now than what I did back then, so yeah. I would actually do that. And I
feel like they'd thrive at your place.
Yeah, and where I want them is going to be super hot. It's going to be like, it's basically northwest facing, and so I'm going to put in some citrus and some olive trees or bay, I don't know yet. And they're going to be the underplanting, and I want to sort of have a lot of cohesion with that going, so it's not just like a random row of lavender. So
do you know, I feel like the bay is less useful than the citrus, but the foliage would match the lavender in the house a lot better.
Yes, exactly. So I'm thinking the bay with the lavender underneath, and then in another area where there's some piping and things like that, I'm just going to put the white chip. And then in a long one, I'm going to put the citrus with just the white chip underneath it. Yeah.
Oh, just a Mediterranean oasis.
Yes. But that's part of the next little part of landscaping that we need to do. So So that's next on the list.
It's bloody expensive, isn't it?
Isn't it?
And you're just sometimes like, where is this money going to come from? That's what Jack asks me.
All the time. My husband is always shocked when I tell him the price of trees. He's just like, what? I'm like, yeah.
So he's like, but you can grow it for free. Like,
he's just, and I haven't even started on all the other areas that we're doing. He has no idea what's coming for him.
Oh, Pete.
So, yeah.
Well, that's probably us.
That's us. For another The Roiling Installment.
And stay tuned for next Friday.
Yes.
When we do Drought.
Which will tie in nicely with the Winter's Grass Seed. So a bit of crossover, but not too much.
Yeah. No. And hopefully some tips and tricks.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
And yes, until next time. And you can find us on Instagram, on We Like to Garden, on Facebook, We Like to Garden. And also you can email us. On
we like to garden we like to garden.pod@gmail.com. So we would love it if you got in touch with us, and if you have any questions about drought, you've got a week to get them in. We can answer them on the air.
And your top, if you've got some top wind plants, because we're going to post about some of those over the next week, tell us what works well and what actually doesn't work for you.
If you live in a wind tunnel, let us know.
Okay, until then.
Bye.